To see everyone this morning, and we return to the 14th chapter of Revelation. So if you would turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now there was four traits last week that was given about the 144,000. Anyone want to raise your hand and say, I know what four there were?
What was the four?
The four traits that described the 144,000. They were pure, weren't they, John? They were pure. Anybody want to give another one?
Carried the mark of God.
No. No. They were pure. They were first fruits. They were faithful. And what was the last one? They were without fault before the throne of God. That's what's required to be able to stand before the throne of God. And it better not be your faultlessness that you try. It better not be your first fruits that you produce. It better not be your faithfulness that you try to complete. Or it better not be your own purity. It better be His. Otherwise, you can't stand there. It's not something that we can do. It's something that only God can do. And He does do that. So if you will, turn to Romans chapter 1 and hope you're there. I'm going to read the entire chapter. I'm going to try to do it as quickly as I can and move along. So here we go. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. File that. It'll come back. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Here. What had he promised? Good news, right? Good news. But then it tells you how the good news would be delivered. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ. That's all the characteristics of the son there. Notice that. He says, his son. Remember what he said in Isaiah? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Jesus said that he was the Son of God. And they mocked him for that. Matter of fact, they wanted to kill him for that. They even said he was blaspheming. But he wasn't. He's the Son of God. He's Jesus. Now, what's the word Jesus mean? Unto you, what? No, that's Emmanuel, but that's thank you for trying. Jesus, remember he said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Remember what he said to his father, Joseph? He said, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save. So he's the Savior. He's the Deliverer. The Son of God is the only one that can deliver us from sin. You know, this thought goes through my mind constantly. I see all these different religions. And my first thought is this. What are you doing about your sin? Because we all have to give an account, folks. We'll all stand before God. We'll either stand before God in His Son with our sins forgiven, or we'll stand before God without His sons and our sin exposed. But we will. So He says He is the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what does Christ mean? The Anointed One. The anointed of God. There's only one person that ever walked on this earth who was the anointed of God. And then he says, our Lord. Notice when you get the first ones right, the last one fits like a glove. Then he's your Lord. You remember what I believe it was Peter said? My Lord and my God. Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. You will never recognize your sin until you recognize God. And there will be no good news for you, no good news for me, until you recognize the only one that can bring the good news. So that's what he's talking about concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David. What's that talking about? Lineage, royalty. He's going to reign as king, as king of kings. And he came through the lineage of a king. And he says, according to the flesh. So what's that tell you? He's going to reign in the flesh. We shall see him just like you see me. Oh, you'll see him different. But you're going to see him. And you know who else is going to see him? All those that denied him. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, who he was is undeniable. Who but God could do the miracles that Jesus did? Who but God can raise himself from the dead? But the world won't recognize him. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. Do you realize if you're saved today, it's not for you? He didn't save you so you'd be a better person. He didn't save you so you'd have a better life. He saved you for his name. And that's okay. It's all right with me. He gets all the glory that way. We don't. We don't deserve any. But he does. Among whom we are ye also the... If you're not called, you're not saved. It's just that simple. For many are... But fewer... In other words, there's a general calling to everyone, but folks, if you don't acknowledge him, you're not called. You're not the called. You know what the church means, don't you? You know what the word church means? You know, when it says that we are in the church of God, do you know what that means? No, called out ones. See, only those that are called out by God, born again, blood washed, just like he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Then you're the called out ones. Then you're in the church, not Liberty Fellowship. I love this church. I love you people. But just because you're sitting in this church don't mean you're in the church. I can tell you that right now. The churches are full today of people that ain't in the church because they're not called. It's the good news, by the way. He's given the good news here. He's given the gospel to us. It's just will we accept it or not. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a gift. What a gift that salvation brings. For I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Do you know why you come to my mind every morning and I start and I do this in my prayer? Do you know why? Not because I'm something special, but because I'm called. And it's the Spirit that's within me that wants to pray for my brothers and sisters. Because without the Spirit, you know, my daddy used to have saying that prayer won't go any farther than the ceiling. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit, the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests by any means. Now at length I might have a prosperous journey to the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established, that is, that I may be comforted with you by the mutual faith of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but with let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, which even among other Gentiles. Remember we talked about last week the first fruits? Well, did you know that if you're called, you're the first fruit? Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection. Remember we said that. And what that means is he was the first one to resurrect, which means we'll resurrect. That's what the fruit is. This church must be a fruit-bearing place. We must produce fruit. Well, how do we produce fruit? How do we produce fruit? If we're not giving this out right here, you can forget the fruit. Because only this produces fruit, folks. Now, we can have fruitful lives, but that's service. This is talking about salvation. Remember, there's a difference between salvation and service. You can't serve till you're saved, and you can't be saved by serving. You serve because you are saved. And that's what he's talking about. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barrel barons, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. God forbid that Tom Foster would ever be ashamed of the good news of God concerning his Son. Because it's the only thing that saved me, and it's the only thing that saved you, and it's the only thing that'll save anybody. And I realize it's getting harder and harder to give it out, but we must not let down. You got to throw that seed. And I can't worry about the ground it falls on. The individual must worry about the ground it falls on. Because if it falls on good ground, guess what? It brings forth some 60, some 100-fold. But it brings forth because it's fruit-bearing. And that's what he's talking about. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, I've talked ad nauseum, is that the right word, about faith and what faith is. Faith is not your religion. Faith is not a denomination. Faith is not what you believe. Here's faith. You accept it, you have faith. You don't accept it, you don't have faith. Faith is the promises of God. You believe them, they're yours. Faith is about who you are. You're lost, you need a Savior. That's what the Word says. So that's what he's talking about when he talks about faith. And then he says, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. if you're not living by this, you're dead. You're dead in trespasses and sin. If you're not believing this and living by this, that's who you are. That's not what you're going to be. That's who you are. So he says this, for the wrath of God. Boy, what a change. I was having fun there for a minute. I'm talking about salvation and grace and the gifts of God and fruit and the resurrection and all. And then all of a sudden, for the wrath of God is revealed. Why would he throw that in there? I'm just going to walk back to you and talk. Why would he throw that? Sandy, why would he throw that in there? Well, what happened to the good news? You know what, Hank? If you had a severe bullet wound, and I come up to you and I said, "Hey, I got to get you to the doctor. You're going to bleed to death." And you said, "There ain't nothing wrong with me. I don't need to go to the doctor. What? There ain't nothing wrong with me." That's what people do. You tell them they need Christ. Well, I don't need that. You see, if you don't know the bad part, you'll never understand the good part. If you don't know you're lost, you'll never know you need to be saved. And that's why he puts the wrath in there. That's why Paul's not ashamed. He knows the severity of it. Listen, we can't just have love and grace and mercy. I get Psalms says, for the Lord is good. He is, right? Last week it said, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. And we all rejoice in that, don't we? And the verse says, the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. And we rejoice in that. But if you don't know about the wrath, you won't rejoice in it because you won't believe it. Because you'll think, well, it doesn't matter. God just accepts us as we are. Well, not according to this. We're going to show you. Remember, if you don't believe this, can't be saved. Impossible. You can't be. So he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men who hold the truth. What does that mean? What does that mean? Here's what that means. You got no excuse. You will not stand before God and say, I didn't know. You're calling God a liar because he says every man, woman, boy, and girl holds the truth. You know about yourself. You just won't accept it. That's the difference. He says, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's what you do. You hold the truth, but you don't hold it rightly. Because that which may be known of God is, what's the word manifest mean? Shown. It's there. You know what causes conviction on a sinner when they hear the gospel? You know what causes conviction? You say, well, the Holy Spirit. Well, the fact that they know the truth and the Holy Spirit convict them, that's what causes the conviction. That's why the Bible says this. He says, godly sorrow does what? Worketh repentance. Well, if you're not sorry that your sin is an affront to God, well, you won't repent. You may be sorry that you got caught in your sin. You may be sorry that what your sin has done to your life has destroyed it. But you won't be sorry to God, and you won't get saved either. You say, Tom, how do you know that? I've told you more times than I can count. That was this fat boy right here. I got sorry for what I'd done. I wanted my life straightened out, so I made professions. But as soon as the problem got solved, old Tommy boy was right back doing everything he used to do. So he says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. That's right. being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without. Listen, when God says you're without excuse, you better listen. Huh? You know, that's one thing that's wrong with our society today, folks. No responsibility. It's somebody else's fault. My situation's not my fault. It's somebody else's. Well, that carries over to here. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, so now they're going downward. When you have the truth, you know the truth, you hold it in unrighteousness, you're starting down. And do you know this? Yes, honey. Well, do you know what, honey? Now, here's the sad truth of that. And I say sad, I hope everybody understands why I say it that way. Do you know who God's going to call as a witness to that woman when she stands before the white throne seat of judgment? Huh? Marty. When a woman says, well, I didn't know. Come over here, Marty. And he will remind that. You say, Tom, hey, that's what this says. She'll be called as a witness, and there'll be a guilty plea. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts and dishonored their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served more than the Creator, who is blessed forever, by the way. You say, Tom, what's that got to do with Revelations? Then you must have forgot chapter 13 already. When the false prophet makes an image of the beast, the Antichrist, and makes everybody worship it. Well, folks, that's not just then, that's now. I'm not as big as my brother is on this thing, but I love nature. I don't like to go for walks up through the paths and see the creeks and all that. But I like nature. But you know what I won't do? I won't worship nature over God because God created it. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is... We don't have any children in here, so I'm going to be very specific. Do you know what that word unseemly means in the Greek? Female genitalia. Men trying to make women out of men. That's what it means. Well, that's homosexuality, folks, in case y'all missing the point. Yeah. Women try to make men out of women. And they think God's not going to hold them responsible for that. But you see, that's holding the truth in unrighteousness. They know it's wrong because God says they know it's wrong. They know it's perverted because God says it's perverted. And the truth is in them. But he says, I've given them over to a reprobate mind to do whatever they want to do now. That's how serious it is. They have taken the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gave his own son for them. And bless God, they've done it their own way. And God says, okay, go ahead. But one day, you'll stand before me. And Revelation 21 says this. And I saw a great white throne. Judgment. Him that sat upon the throne, from whom the heavens and the earth. Why did the heavens and the earth flee from him? Why? Well, let me ask you this. Is not the heavens and the earth cursed by sin? Hey, God is of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look upon iniquity. The reason they're going to flee away from him is because he's pure. And anything impure is not going to stand before him. Neither heavens nor earth. And he says, and the books were opened. Well, what do you think he means by the books? Well, last time I checked, bless God, there's 66 of them. That's what we call them. 66 books of the. But that's not the only book he opened. The book of life. And your name better be in it. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it till the day I die. At a red light in Orlando, Florida. Winter Park, Florida. Before the light could change, God took his big pen, dipped it in his son's blood, and wrote Thomas, Leslie, Foster.
Amen. Amen.
And put a period behind it. So one day when I stand before him, you know what he's going to do, honey? He's going to open that book. He's going to flip to February 1982, Winter Park, Florida. There you are, Tom. You say, Tom, have you sinned since then? Yeah, but it didn't affect this. My name, sir, ain't never going to be taken out.
Amen.
But folks, you have to believe this or your name don't get wrote there. You can't just do what you want to do, say what you want to say, believe what you want to believe. It's whether your name's there or not. Remember the 70 went out there and they came back and they're bragging and everything because they did all these miracles. And he said, oh, no. No, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice in the fact that your name is written in heaven. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate, a cast-off mind, to do those things which are not fit to do. When God says something's not fit, my friend, you better believe it's not fit. I don't care what the world tells you. I don't care what Supreme Court tells you. I don't care, bless God, what Republicans or Democrats tells you. When God says it's not fit, you better believe it's not fit. Mm-hmm. And you better get out of it.
That's right.
Come out from among them, he said, saith the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I will be your God. But you can't stay in it and him be your God. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with the unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignancy, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without understanding. My goodness, and the list goes on. Covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing. Look, I'm not telling you this. God says, who knowing. The judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of. Not physical death, folks. The second death. The second death. To be forever out of His presence. Not only do the same, but have. They not only know God's going to judge them for it, they just have pleasure in it. In them that do it. You say, Tom, what's that got to do with Revelation chapter 14? Well, if you turn around, I'm going to show you. Now, we talked to you about two seas in chapter 14 last time. What was the two seas that we talked about? Don't look at notes. Look right this way, and they start with C, honey. See, humanity starts with the H, but that's okay. That's all right. You know, it's A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. H follows G. I'm just playing. Thank you for trying. What were the two C's? Anybody remember? Oh, you did? What was it, honey? Choice and control. Choice and control. You see, life is about choices, but there's only two. I read them to you. The good news is about a choice. If you believe the gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation. But if you reject it, I read you the litany of things there that come from rejecting it. You made the bad choice. There's consequences for your choice. He says, who knowing the judgment, wrath and judgment is the consequence of a wrong choice. But what is the consequence of a right choice? Salvation. Salvation. Remember your name. He writes it in the book of life. And it's never. That's why it's called. Oh, you're the only one listening to me. I'm going to talk to you. That's why it's called. And I shall give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Why? Because I put your name there. And it's my promise. And I'm going nowhere. And as long as I'm around, my promise is good. That's eternal life, my friend. Oh, it's not about quantity. Right? Quantity means eternal. I mean, that's just never ending, right? But it also has to mean. It also starts with a Q, by the way. I got to go back here because she's the only one who will help me. Quality. Let me ask you something. I'm not going to ask you how old you are because that's not the way you do. You don't ask a woman their age. I mean, I know that. I'm smarter than that. But you can't tell me that you can still do at your age what you did when you were 20. I mean, if you tell me that, I ain't believing a word you say. I'm going to say you're a politician up in Washington, D.C. You know, if their mouth's moving, they're line. The quality, you'll help me, won't you? The quality of your life diminishes with age. But eternal life the quality never diminishes. You're not only going to have eternal life, you're going to have eternal quality of life. That's what's good about it. I mean, otherwise, I wouldn't want to live forever and get worse and worse and worse. I mean, what good would that be, right? So that's what eternal life is. So that's what he's talking about in Romans chapter 1. He's talking about eternal life through Christ, his son, concerning his son. Okay, now look at Revelation real quick. Oh, boy, okay. I tell you, it just took chapter 14. First what? Oh, no, honey, I done covered. My goodness, I covered the 144,000. I talked about them earlier. Now, we're in verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. The next time somebody wants you to tell them what mercy is, I want you to read them that verse. I've done read to you how much judgment God's pouring out on this country, on this world. Do you remember Habakkuk's prayer? Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. You remember he sent out two witnesses to preach the gospel. He sent out 144,000 like the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel. The gospel has been preached for centuries. But the merciful God that we have says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send an angel. One that's never known the first sin. And I'm just going to let him fly through the heavens. Maybe y'all ain't picking this up. Preach the good news. You don't have to die. You don't have to go to hell if you'll just believe the everlasting gospel. But why else does he do that? Not just because of his mercy. Why else does he do that? In Matthew chapter 24, I can't remember the verse. I'm going to say it's at the top of my page on the right column. I could go to it in a second, but I'm going to tell you what it says. The end shall not come until the gospel is preached unto every nation. And then shall the end come.
That's right.
He's just fulfilling what he said he'd do. You say, well, Tom, what about the internet and what about radio and TV? God's not dependent on that. I mean, who wouldn't believe an angel flying around? I've already read it to you, Jimmy, before. And they repented not. And I've told you, they would not because they could not. They could not because they would not. They're trapped. They're caught. No turning back. But God's going to fulfill his word. He's going to preach the gospel to everyone. They're going to hear it. And then he says, and then the end shall come. And that's what's going on here. And he says, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Is that not what I read to you in Romans chapter 1? It's summarized? Absolutely. Go back and read it again. I'll guarantee you that's a summary of it. Unto them that dwell, wait a minute, I'm sorry. In the midst, I'm sorry. Saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him that made Heaven and the sea and the fountains of waters. What's that saying? Worship the Creator and not the creation. Isn't that what Paul was preaching? The gospel doesn't change, folks. It's never changed. We can't change it. We can't mellow it down. We can't make it seem better. The gospel is what it is. As I told Sandy, if you don't realize you're wounded, you're not going to seek help. Now here we go again. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Anybody see anything in the tenses there? Huh? No, it's past. It's past tense. Yeah. It's fallen. It's fallen. Yeah. Hey, it's God's word is so certain, Jimmy, that what He says today is like it's already happened. Yeah. If it's going to happen tomorrow, you say, "Well, Tom, how does that help me?" Well, when He says that we have been made, we've been made to sit in heavenly places. You know what that means, eh? It's as good as done. You may be sitting right there and you are, you know. Or you could be like me and be gone. Y'all didn't hear, did you? Y'all didn't hear about me dying? Yeah, I died yesterday. They're going to have my service later today. But I had to teach one more time before I laid out. So if I, you know, if I go like that later, you'll say, well, he at least he got that last lesson in. You can ask somebody, I'll tell you about that. But I'm gone. That great city, because she hath made. Now listen, I don't want you to get caught up in a city here. He ain't talking about a city. He's talking about a kingdom. He's talking about Satan's side. Remember I told you there's Satan's side and there's God's side. Well, He's already given you the gospel so that you get on God's side, right? But if you refuse, then you're over here. So let's see where you are when you're over there. He says, and there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, has fallen, that great city, because she hath made all nations drink the wine, the wrath, heard fornication. I made me a little note out there. I said, you'll dance with who you bring, and you'll drink with who you are. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive a mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. What a contrast. What was the 144,000 doing? Bless God, they're singing. They were worshiping. They were praising God. Well, that's not so if you choose Babylon as your city. They were in what city? They were in Jerusalem. That's the city of God. Well, Babylon is the city of Satan. You just have to make your choice what city, where you want to live. Right? Move right in if you want to. But He's telling you what's going to happen when you do. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in the cup of indignation. He shall be tormented with fire, brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. That means in the sight of or in the face of. You're not only going to be in hell, you're going to see the Lamb. Now, what do you think that would do to a person? If the whole time they're being tormented in flames, they look up and see, if I'd have just took the Lamb, if I'd have took door number one when He told me to take door number one, that's going to be part of their torment. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Contrast that to chapter 4, where it says, and the angels rest not day or night, saying, holy. Now you tell me, listen, I'm trying to paint a picture for you. Maybe I'm not doing a good job. Which one do you think a person ought to choose? But you won't make a choice unless you believe this. If you're like that lady, You're not going to make a choice because you don't believe you're going to be in hell till you're in hell. I'll guarantee you 1 second after she takes her last breath, she'll believe it. And she'll believe it right on and on and on. Here's the patience. Now notice the contrast here. Now he changes gears. He says, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they which keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And they're the ones that believe the gospel, by the way, in case you're having trouble there. And he says, and I heard a voice from heaven unto me saying, blessed. Blessed are they that die in the Lord from henceforth. Why does he say that? Why does he say that? Help me out real quick. Why does he say that? Well, because if you don't take the mark of the beast, they're going to kill you. If you don't take the mark of the beast, you can't eat, you can't buy, you can't sell. Well, what he's saying is this. You'd be better off starving to death or being killed by the beast than to take that mark.
That's right.
Because you're going to spend eternity in one of the two places. With the beast, you're going to be in torment forever. Mm-hmm. If you believe the gospel, you're going to be rejoicing forever. I know what I took. I'm loving every bit of it. The Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they rest from their labors, and their as soon as the beast kills them, guess what? They be resting. Simple choice for me. Because they rest not day or night in hell. And I looked, now get this, and I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Did you notice? If you believe the gospel, you're in this, and it's by the Son of Man. The Son of God, the God sent the gospel concerning His Son. Well, bless God, if you believe His Son, when He gets ready, He goes. That's how it happens. That's how quick it is. You're reaped. But guess what? There's a contrast. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had the power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle in the earth, gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came up out of the winepress, even under the horse's bridle, a space of 1,600 furlongs. That's 4 feet high, 200 miles long. Well, which harvest do you want to be in? You want to be in God's harvest? Or do you want to be cast into the wine press? It's a simple choice, folks. Yet multitudes, multitudes upon multitudes are rejecting Christ, not believing that's their end, but it is. You know, a guy said one time, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. See you next time.